Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No brakes,
no brakes,
no fear,
no fear.
The official British Speedway podcast.
Welcome along. In this week's episode, we round up what's been happening in the Sports Insure Premiership playoffs. And the Ipswich Witches are through to the Sports Insure Premiership Grand Final after a sensational semi in Manchester.
And right now, the Ipswich Witches are going through to the final next week. What a night of Speedway.
We've got plenty of reaction to bring you, not least from those in charge of the Ipswich Witches, Chris Louie and Richie Hawkins.
Those boys, I feel... you know, great for them because they've pulled this team together this year. They've gone out and done races like that time and time again to get us results, so they deserve to have that one.
We've also got reaction from Monmore, where it's half time between the Wolves and the Tigers. Sheffield, though, taking a 10-point lead back home to Ollerton. And one of our special guests this week is Damien Bates, promoter of the Sheffield Tigers.
To be honest, I didn't expect us to come away with that lead, but there's still another leg to go, you know, and Wolves have proven time and time again that they can do the business anywhere.
Much more from Damien Bates in part two of the podcast. And in part three, we look ahead to one of the most long-awaited meetings ever, potentially, the Stuart Robson farewell meeting with Martin Coleman, who's the man organising it for the fifth time.
I feel like I've promoted a couple of seasons already. It's just been a meeting that seems to have been just riddled with bad luck from the moment we started.
Much more from Martin Coleman in part three. All of that, though, on the way on No Breaks, No Fear.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Welcome along. Lots to get through as ever. Damien Bates in part two, and we'll talk more about Sheffield in a few moments. But first to the National Speedway Stadium, where Ipswich are through to the Sports Insure Premiership Grand Final after toppling champions Bellevue in a sensational semi-final in Manchester. The Witches led by 18 points from the first leg, but came under huge pressure in the closing stages of the return at a packed National Speedway Stadium with back-to-back aces 5-1s in heats 13 and 14. Bringing the margin back to just 2 points. The decider turned out to be one of the best races ever seen in playoff speedway, as home duo Brady Kurtz and Dan Bewley initially appeared to hold a 5-1 position, only for Witches stars Emil Saifutinov and Jason Doyle to both come through to win it for the Foxhall side in a heat at one point led by all four riders.
Four laps to determine. Here we go. Case lap. We're underway. Bewley's made a good start. Doyle has made an even better one. Certainly Kurtz is there. Here comes Bewley on the inside. Saifutinov around the outside in the second place. Doyle coming through into third. Kurtz has gone off. Look at Bewley. Bewley on the inside. Incredible move from Bewley again. Doyle fast himself back to the front. Bewley's now in front. Saifutinov in the third place. A third blanket over all four riders. Here comes Doyle again. He's hit the front. Saifutinov now up the inside. Oh, they nearly ran into each other. But the Witches have hit the front. What a stunning couple of laps of speedway that was. Wow. What a response from Saifutinov and Doyle. Bewley's there. Kurtz is at the back. And right now, the Ipswich Witches are going through to the final next week. What a night of speedway. One last blast on the run to the corner, and the Ipswich Witches have done it. Oh, what a night.
Well, the Bellevue Aces won the meeting, 51-39. Jamin Lidsey scored 11+1, Brady Kurtz and Dan Bewley scoring 10+1, but their first leg deficit proved just too high. Soon, we'll hear from the victorious Witches, Jason Doyle and Emil Saifudinov, who did the business, as you heard there, in Heat 15. But first of all, to the management, Chris Louie and Richie Hawkins with Abby Stevens on Eurosport.
Richie, what was your heart rate like in that Heat 15?
No, that's just Jason Doyle out of nowhere. He's struggled for speed here all season and then suddenly just pulls out a ride like that. For what he's done for the club in the last 2 years, that's just right that that was him that pulled off a ride like that to get us in the final.
What a heat, Chris. I mean, you had a 20-point lead after Heat 4 and then going into Heat 15, just down to 2.
Yeah, look, you go into a race like that when the whole season hinges on it, and you know it's a replay of Heat 13 that you've lost out 5-1. It's tough on the nerves, I've got to say. But you know, those boys, I feel, you know, great for them because they've pulled this team together this year. They've gone out and done races like that time and time again to get us results. So they deserve to have that one.
You've tasted victory, Richie, with the knockout cup, and now you're through to the final. It could be the double, perhaps. The story continues.
Yeah, it's going to... I mean, obviously, Sheffield have got a great lead now, winning at Wolves, so, yeah, could be a replay of that, and I'm sure it'll be a lot tougher test than we had in the cup, but, yeah, we'll enjoy tonight, and then we'll worry about next week, then.
To the stars of the show, then, in Heat 15. Jason Doyle in a moment, but first, Emil Saifudinov with Scott Nichols.
Yeah, it was tight because, you know, it's when we come here, you know, it was... we had, like, planned to keep the hours points, you know, with 18 points, and but anyway, you know, it just was tough because Bellevue in home, you know, is going really quick, and, yeah, so it's... Anyway, we got to know the final, and which one is, you know, is, I think we deserve it, and yeah, just going for the gold.
Heat 13 didn't go your way. The Bellevue boys look very fast. Did you make many changes coming into Heat 15 because you look like a different rider?
Yeah, we changed a like, little bit, you know, his ignition, just like I said, you know, just 1 degree, which one, you know, is cost me a little bit, you know, it's a slower bike, and which one is, was a little bit lazy, but we changed for Heat 15, you know, it's, we're back again, and then that was fast, you know, it's, yeah, track is, today was really tricky because, you know, it's hard to understand, you know, it's weather conditions was like changed a lot, and track is was like, looks like wet, but it's like dry, and you know, so it's, yeah, it's a good experience I got, you know, and yeah, so going to forward.
Whatever happens, it's a great night. Great to see you. Good luck in the final. Thank you, Emil. Back to you, Abby.
Jason Doyle, my heart rate is through the roof. I can't imagine what yours is like.
No, it's gone way above the roof, I think. That was an unbelievable meeting. So much stress, so much adrenaline. Then, yeah, that last race, I'm not sure what happened, but it was everyone was throwing the kitchen sink at each other.
It was brilliant to watch. And did you watch the meeting on Thursday?
Yeah, I was at home with my wife, Emily. I was so proud of the boys. What an amazing job they've done. It just shows that I don't need to be there when they're went on form like that. They showed true tiger, and the meeting was just amazing to watch. We needed that lead to come here.
Well, they needed you tonight. They needed you in Heat 15, and it was just outstanding. And now you're through to the final.
Yeah, we can't believe it. We had the worst two gates in Heat 15, and we made it. And yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't watched the race. I'm looking at the big screen in the background, and I'm waiting to see how it was. But yeah, too many moves, too much hard riding, I guess it was.
It was hard riding, but it was required as well for the Ipswich Witches to make it through to the grand final of the Sports Insure Premiership, which was due to take place next week. Who will await them? Well, that's going to be either Sheffield or Wolves, and more about that in a moment. First, let's hear from the captain of the Bellevue Aces then. Their time as champions comes to an end in 2023, and he's been speaking to Hayley Bromley.
Nah, we're all super disappointed, I'm sure, as everyone would know. It's we didn't want to finish the season here. It's been such a good journey for us. We've had such a great team, 7 really, really good guys to be a part of it. Lemo, a great manager, and he ran the club superbly all year. And yeah, we can't really put into words how we're all feeling at the moment. But yeah, it's disappointing, but all we can do is wish Ipswich the best in the final, and they were the better team over 2 legs.
Absolutely. I mean, I know you guys have been extremely hard on yourself about that Ipswich result. 18 points was a lot. At one point, you were 22 points down. You pulled 20 back. I mean, that is an incredible feat in and of itself.
Yeah, the first four heats didn't really go to plan for us here. And after that, in such a short amount of time, we pulled so many points back. And we all did really believe it was going to happen before the last few heats. And yeah, we came up short. You know, it's a difficult enough task to beat Doyle and Emma once without having to race them again in 15. And they're two of the best riders in the world. And yeah, to get it over them twice in a row was never going to be easy. And yeah, they managed to get us.
So who will await the Ipswich Witches? Well, as we mentioned, that's either the Sheffield Tigers or the Wolverhampton Wolves, and it's Sheffield in pole position for the grand final after a brilliant performance to win 50-40 in their semi at Wolverhampton on Monday night. The Tigers, patched up due to their injuries with three guests involved, found themselves 4 points down early on, but they levelled with a 5-1 in Heat 9 and then pushed on for a big away win in the first leg in front of a huge crowd at Monmore Green. Robert Lambert with 12+1 bonus was unbeaten after a third place in his first ride, and his Heat 15 5-1 with fellow stand-in Richard Lawson, who himself got 10+1, took the margin to 10 points heading back to Ollerton this Thursday. Kyle Howarth, Josh Pickering and Chris Holder all chipped in with two race wins apiece as Wolves again suffered disappointment in the home leg of a semi-final, with their top scorer being skipper Sam Masters, who got 7+1 bonus. In a moment we'll hear from Peter Adams, the Wolves team boss. First of all, from the management at Sheffield, Simon Stead speaking to Ryan Guest.
Well, Sheffield Tigers team boss Simon Stead, you must be one very proud team manager here tonight.
Absolutely. 100% effort from every single one of the lads. Rode their socks off in every single heat, battled for places when they're out of positions, consolidated clever points in other heats, and in a meeting where every single point counts, then it was important that the lads knew the importance of that, and they've done everything and more that I could have asked for them tonight. They've been fabulous on track. They've been a great bunch of lads, all helping each other in the pits, and you know, we've seen a fantastic result because of their hard work and determination to get there. So I'm really, really, really pleased. It's just credit to the lads, because they're the ones that have really put the hard work in. We've been a little bit inconsistent away from home, but I think that the balance tonight we got right. Richard's come in and done a fabulous job. Drew came in and rode brilliantly as well. So it's just been a great team effort. And look, when you've got Robert at number one, who's absolutely world class and showed why he's up there challenging right at the top end of the world stage, then you know, you that filters down the rest of the team, and we've been really lucky with the guys that have integrated so well into the team, because it is difficult coming in as a guest, but they've integrated really well. They've helped each other. The from 1 to 7, everybody's tried to get the best out of everybody, and the points on the scoreboard show that we've done a really good job.
How do you approach Thursday now? Because obviously you're in a dominant position with the home form you've had around Ollerton of late as well. Many would expect you to wrap it up fairly comfortably. So how do you have to approach Thursday now?
Well, we had a chat about that straight after Heat 15. You have to draw a line under it, and we start from zero again, really, because the important thing when you get to this time of year is about momentum. So we can't afford to take our foot off the gas. We need to carry on doing what we're doing. And if tonight's anything to go by, we're going to be a threat to anybody. And it was a fabulous meeting. Like I said before, every single one of them gave 110%. You can't ask any more from that. The fans played their part as well. We could hear them in great numbers, giving us every bit of support, and that made a difference too. They were part and parcel of this great win tonight. But we look at Thursday. as a fresh meeting that we'll be going out to win.
Yeah, and you've mentioned the guests here tonight, and obviously it's been a torrid time over the past month or so for the Tigers on the injury front. Looking around the pitch, totally bizarre as well. Only Carl remaining from press day, so to be in this position at this stage of the season with everything that has gone against the club, it's true credit to everyone involved.
Well, that's it. Look, I mean, some of the changes were unforeseen, and some of them were that we believe were the right decision for the club. So these guys are brilliant, aren't they? I love it. But it's difficult. Like when you're managing a Speedway team, sometimes you've got to do what's right in the best interest of the club. Injuries are part and parcel of this game. You can't do anything about that. All we can do as a management team is try and get the best cover possible, and you know, you've got to give tremendous credit to our management team. You know, Mark, Damien, Driller, Julie, who have enabled me to sort of get the guys in that I wanted to get in. They've been a great fit. They've done a fabulous job. And I'm pleased for everybody that we got this result.
We'll hear from Damien Bates in the next part of No Breaks, No Fear, one of the promoters at Sheffield, with a bit more information on who is going to be lining up for the Tigers in that second leg on Thursday. Right now, let's hear from Peter Adams. He's been here before, and there's another leg to go at Ollerton. His thoughts with Mike Taylor from BBC Radio WM.
Peter, that obviously wasn't the result you wanted tonight. It took a very good team to beat you.
Yeah, they were very good today. I think when you look at the programme, they produced 11 race winners out of the 15 heats, and no matter who you are, you know, you can't cope with that.
No, sometimes there's real moments that shift the momentum in a meeting. The 5-1 in heat 9, where Richard Lawson defended so strongly to protect Drew Kemp, just felt like a real shift in the momentum.
Yeah, there were quite a few races like that, particularly early on, you know, when we held a comfortable 4-point lead. But as I say, you know, you've got to produce a preponderance of heat winners in a match like this, and we couldn't do it. You know, you need a good start and a good middle and a good finish, and yeah, the start weren't too bad, but the rest of it, you know, was simply not good enough.
I know you'll give it everything, the team will give it everything they've got on Thursday, but it's clearly a very, very tall task for you.
Well, absolutely. You know, we have had some success at Sheffield in the last couple of years, but not to that extent, and it'll take something extraordinary, you know, for us to turn that round.
There are going to be obviously meetings here in October, and they're going to be very big and emotional occasions. You had huge support here tonight, which says something for how much people want to come and see the club.
Yeah, the fans have been absolutely tremendous, you know, not just this season, but year on year, and that, you know, they were tonight. Porky whipped them into a bit of a frenzy, and it's just a great shame that we couldn't produce the result that they were looking for.
A strong performance throughout the Sheffield team. Then, as we mentioned before, three riders getting two race wins apiece. Kyle Howarth and Chris Holder among them, as was Josh Pickering, who's also been chatting to Ryan Guest.
Well, Josh Pickering, obviously with Sheffield's injury woes and Wolves having a full-strength 1-7, many thought this semi-final was going to go in the Wolves' favour, but that's some effort from the Tigers tonight.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. The boys that come in done an unbelievable job. There's not much to say, really. We've just got to continue this form we're currently having at the minute. We're all feeling confident. Our machinery's all going good, touch wood, and you know, the confidence in the camp is second to none.
Yeah, people will say that Sheffield were able to bring in the guests and pick to the strength and everything like that, but it's never that simple, is it? Integrating so many riders, three guests into a team.
Oh, they can say what they want, mate. At the end of the day, the people we have missing is Ty Wolfenden, Tobias Musliak, and who else we got? That's it, eh?
And Klaus Standard.
And Klaus, yeah, sorry. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. How can you replace them riders anyway, especially at Sheffield? Like, Wolfie's been unbelievable there at home since he's come in. Toby's been unbelievable there the last two or three seasons he's been there. So, in saying we're strengthening someone for our track is incorrect, potentially on the way track type thing, but Wolfie rode here for 10 years and Toby done some time here as well when he started his career. So again, in saying that, both the boys know this track quite well, and at the end of the day, it's all the other five boys in the team as well that make our team, and all of us stepped up tonight. We all had race wins, and then most of the time when we did have race wins, we had our support with a paid win or, you know, getting that heat advantage.
Yeah, you've been here as a visiting rider on a number of occasions in the Top Flight now. You know a lot of the Aussie boys in the Wolves camp as well. It's very rare they get dominated in terms of the heat wins like they have been tonight.
Oh, absolutely, mate. Like, Sam Dougie, even like Becker around here, he's unreal as well. So, Stevie Worrell, again, unbelievable trapper, rides the place well. He's been going good here all year, but at the end of the day, mate, sometimes you do need a bit of luck on your side as well. The luck fell our favour. We made some very smart decisions in our first corners or opening laps, and it sort of set us up for the rest of the night. So we're just going to continue with this form we've got currently, hopefully, and take this confidence into the next one.
Yeah, and Thursday night, like you say, giving yourselves a massive opportunity now. Still got a job to do, nevertheless, but like you say, a team certainly confident around the home circuit.
Yeah, well, I've got a lot more confidence in going to Sheffield than I did here tonight, and I've done my job, and I know the other boys will be feeling the same. So, as they say, it's not over yet, but I feel like we do have one foot in the door for the final, and we've just got to make sure we stay there.
Well, as Ipswich would be able to tell any team that you never rest on your laurels, and there's still a long way to go. Yeah, Ipswich, of course, started their fixture 18 points ahead, and it still went down to the last heat. Let's hear from Steve Worrell now of the Wolverhampton Wolves. Another tough night at Monmore on home shale.
Yeah, not how any team wants to start their playoff campaign, you know. The idea behind the whole thing is to build as big a lead up as you can at home and take that away. By the looks of it, we're going to try and do it backwards. You know, we'll lose at home and try and win away. So we've got to stay positive. You know, it's not over. We could quite easily go there and do what they've done here tonight. You know, thing for us, not many heat winners. And we're not really packing in the minor places either, which isn't ideal. No, lack of time here on the track, I think's not helped tonight for us, because again, not making excuses, but you know, it would have been nice if we was coming here on the back of racing last week. You know, weather changes, track changes, so kind of like we've all been scratching our heads really. There's not been one of us, I guess, that's, you know, stumbled across something that's you know, like set the bike off and then you can pass it on. Not one of us has found anything, and Sheffield lads seemed to find it, and they was getting out the starts well and had a lot of speed on track, and we just couldn't match them.
You say, you mentioned a lack of race win is bizarre as well, because when Wolves got that hat-trick of 4-2s, it looked as if you were about to get a bit of control on the meeting, but then that 4-2 in heat 4 turned out to be the last race win of the night, which is totally unheard of here at Monmore for the Wolves.
Yeah, that's it. You know, like, it's not through lack of effort. You know, everyone was trying their nuts off. You know, I've tried everything tonight to try and, you know, replicate some speed that I've had earlier in the year, and I know like the rest of the guys are pulling the hair out as well. So we've just got to, I guess, forget about it now and go into Sheffield, stay positive, and you know, we can quite easily do what they've done here.
Is it almost a case of nothing to lose on Thursday night now?
Obviously we want to make that final. You know, we want to give Wolves the send off it deserves, so that's the idea. Is we want to get in that final, so we'll go there and just give it our all, you know, put it all on the line and see where we end up.
Steve Worrell of the Wolverhampton Wolves, and the fixture picture for the week ahead is very, very simple indeed in the Sports Insure Premiership. The lineup for the grand final set to be confirmed on Thursday when Sheffield take a 10-point lead into their semi-final second leg against the Wolverhampton Wolves. The first leg of the final is set to take place on Monday. Depends, obviously, who gets through to that, but we do know that if it should be Sheffield and Ipswich, then the first leg will be at Ipswich on the Monday, Sheffield on the Thursday. I know this because I've done an interview with Damian Bates, and we talk about that potential scenario in the next part of No Breaks, No Fear, as we catch up with not only promoter at the Sheffield Tigers, but also family involvement as well, and his own involvement with Leicester, and he's also on the board of directors at the BSPL too. So we'll talk about all those different areas of Speedway in the next part of No Breaks, No Fear, the official British Speedway podcast.
No Breaks, No Fear, the official British Speedway podcast.
Coming up in the final part later on, we're chatting to Martin Coleman, who has been involved in organising the most long-awaited fixture in Speedway history, I think, and that is the Stuart Robson farewell meeting. He's been organising it since 2019, and he's on to his fifth version of the event, what with the pandemic and rain-offs. It's been quite brutal, and finally hoping to get that meeting underway. But we'll hear about the planning process and what they've got in store for this Saturday at Redcar is that meeting. So more about that Stuart Robson farewell and the trials and tribulations of taking on a job of organising a meeting and not realising you got to organise that same meeting five times. So more about that to come. Right now, we turn our attention on the Sheffield Tigers, but also British Speedway in general, because I'm very pleased to say that joining us this week on No Breaks, No Fear is one of the promoters at the Sheffield Tigers, but also a member of the board directors at the BSPL, British Speedway Promoters Limited as well. And he is Damien Bates. Welcome, Damien. And, well, you must be sat there in your office feeling a little bit more confident about things regarding the playoffs today than maybe you were on Monday after bringing home a 10-point lead from Monmore.
Well, yeah, it was a good result. To be honest, I didn't expect us to come away with that lead, but there's still another leg to go, you know, and Wolves have proven time and time again that they can do the business anywhere, and they've always been run close at Sheffield before. They've won over the last couple of years, so it's not a given by any stretch of imagination.
You must have been wondering what you'd done to get the bad luck that you'd had at a certain point in the season, though, with losing Ty Woofenden, of course Jack Holder before that, Tobias Musialak lately as well, and now obviously Klaus Wissing is currently out. So you've had this spate of injuries over a short period of time, which have really caused you a bit of a headache, really.
Yeah, we also lost Dan at Rising Star, who'd been absolutely great for us this year, and obviously we lost Jack, which was devastating, really. And he tried coming back, but obviously with a cut-off date, he couldn't commit to us, which was a fair comment because he still won't fit, and we had a date where we had to redeclare his lineup. There were a few other issues in team why we made the changes we did, but we fetched Ty in. And obviously had that big crash at Cardiff, which, what can you do? I've lost Jack, I've lost Ty. He rode on Sunday, which I don't think he should have been riding. I think he's been vocal with that as well. And then obviously last weekend we lost Toby, broken leg, out for a minute. So it is against us. If we do get to final, it is a good achievement. And obviously whoever's going to start final against us, if it is us, you know, it's Ipswich. So they've got their full team. They're back to their 1-7. So I think they've got a slight advantage over that. We're trying to find guests to cover, which is far from ideal, very difficult. But we'll be patched up, but we'll give it its best shot like we always do.
The situation we heard earlier in this podcast, an interview with Simon Stead, who said that you're obviously having to look at your options now because of this 8-day rule, which is maybe going to come back and haunt you slightly there. So you've got to be careful about who you book when. You had Robert Lambert and Richard Lawson, of course, and Drew Kemp as guests for Monday night, and maybe a bit of a reshuffle of the pack for the second leg with those other rules in mind, with a potential final in mind next week.
Well, you can have the 8-day rule don't count obviously for your number one, which is good for us, thankfully. The rest of it, yeah, 8-day rule. Obviously, we can't guess the same track within that time frame. It does make it even more difficult because you only can pick from three teams who's not in playoffs. Then averages have got to fit. Then availability, if the rider's available to do it. So it is very, very, very difficult. It's not a situation I want to be in, but it's a situation we're in. It is what it is, so we've just got to do the best we can with it. And we've got the 8-day rule in his head. We're trying to work it out. Just before I come on here, actually, I'd just be on phone steady. We got some stuff to try and get some stuff sorted for this Thursday because we're still not there yet with the team.
Yeah, and awaiting the winners, and we obviously you can't say it's a foregone conclusion with Ipswich being obviously 18 points up and showing it can get a little bit tippy. They were 22 points up at one point on Monday night against Bellevue, and it came down to the final heat there. So you can never say never in Speedway, as we well know. But Ipswich are definitely there. Last year's champions are out now, so there will be a new champion this year in the Premiership. And of course, from your point of view, with Sheffield getting to that final, being defeated by Bellevue last year, that's obviously a memory you're wanting to put to bed.
It is, because, you know, I'm not bitter by last year, but I'm still a bit, things went off that I don't believe should have been allowed to go off. And it did. I believe it cost us that league title. But, you know, like I said, that last year, we're hopefully, we can get to another. But like I said, Wolves, can't discount Wolves by any stretch, because they are a good team. So if we do get to the final, we'll be trying as best to go on better this year and win it. With a patched up team, like I've said, I'd have preferred my own team. But it is what it is, and we just have to do what we can do and try and win it.
Clearly very different circumstances, as you sort of alluded to there, but the irony, of course, is not lost in Robert Lambert doing a tremendous job last night helping you out. And of course, he was the rider, the bit of controversy about him riding for Bellevue last year. But he did a fantastic job around Monmouth for you on Monday night, considering he's not ridden there, I don't think, since 2019. Getting around Sam Masters there, there's not many riders have done that this season.
No, obviously the one that comes first to be Rob last year, but if you look at who we've got and who we can choose from, the list isn't big, and averages play a part. So Rob Lambert was really the only realistic guest good enough we could get to cover for Ty, who in turn cover for Jack. So, you know, we spoke to Rob, and thankfully we got the deal done with him and for him to ride for us. But like I say, it's very hard to find the guests that all fit correctly. And Rob, you know, last night at Wolverhampton, that's why I think he's in top six in the world at the moment. He's a pure class rider, and I am thankful that we have managed to book his services for playoffs.
Yeah, it was tremendous there, and obviously you've still got some work to do to finalise your team, I guess, for Thursday. Have you got any of the guest riders booked as yet at this, at the moment in time that we're talking now? I mean, it's Tuesday, so you've got a bit of time, but you've got to submit that team fairly soon, I guess.
I've got Rob's obviously agreed to do all playoffs for us, if we get to final also, and then Richard Lawson is coming on Thursday for us as well. I like to, it's good to have, it's hard enough to get guests, but it's good to have, try and get the same guests to do both legs and things. I think it just gives a bit more stability. And then we're just working on a guest for Klaus at the moment. So hopefully I'll have that tied up by end of today.
Okay, but that's a big boost though, to get somebody like Robert Lambert in the side now for as long as the playoffs last, if that's all the way to the final, of course, next week or whatever. But a huge boost to, you know, as you say, have one of the top riders in the world right now. Obviously, replacing one of the top riders in the world, in as you mentioned, with Jack Holder and Ty Woffenden, but to maintain that level of rider in that position, you know, very difficult shoes to fill, but you've probably filled it there.
Yeah, I think that's what I say. It was key that we did try and get somebody on that level. Because, you know, Jack and Ty, they're an elite level, along with your people like Jason Doyle and Mel Sifford and all them sort of riders. So that's one thing we were trying to get, somebody who could represent us as number one, as good as Ty and Jack of all season. So, brilliant that Rob's agreed to do it for us.
And you were involved with the Sheffield meeting last night, but you've seen what happened at the National Speedway Stadium yet. They obviously came down to a bit of a last-ditch decider, one of those where Bellevue needed those 5-1s, and those 5-1s start coming in, and you're thinking, hang on a minute, this could actually turn round here. But Ipswich getting the job done in Heat 15, and it was those riders you mentioned, Jason Doyle and Emil Saifutinov, that ultimately got them over the line.
Yeah, it was a great 8-15, and you know, Speedway is a winner when stuff like that happens. But that's what Jason and Emil have done week in, week out for Ipswich. They've been fantastic for the league, they've been fantastic for Ipswich, they've been fantastic for British Speedway. But in turn, if you looked at Heat 13 with Brady and Dan Buell, again, top class riders. So when you've got riders like that, and you do expect fantastic racing. And at one point, I genuinely did think Bellevue was going to do it. But, you know, they fell short, which is a shame. But Ipswich have done well this year. They've done well. They've had the ups and downs. Yeah, they've done all right. So, you know, good luck to Ipswich in final.
Of course, you faced Ipswich. If you do get to the final, you faced Ipswich in a final in the Knockout Cup not long ago. And of course, Ipswich, they did a big job back on their home patch. So you know the size of the task at hand. I think I'm right in saying, at least at this stage, the first leg of the final, whoever Ipswich faces, is likely to be at Foxhall on the Monday with the return leg. Potentially, unless of course it is Wolves that go through, but if it is Sheffield, the plan would be for a Monday Ipswich leg and a Thursday Sheffield leg. Would that be right?
Yeah, that is right. And yeah, they did beat us in Knockout Cup. Listen, it's always nice to win things, it really is. But I don't at the beginning of the season, if I'm honest, don't think, oh, I'm building this team to hit Knockout Cup, we're doing it to win league. Ipswich were better than us, two legs. We'd just lost his riders. We had a guest of Max Frick who come in, who was, you know, by his own admission, he didn't have the best meeting at Sheffield. I think he got 2 points. You know, so if we'd have got what I'd expect him to got, double figures, it'd have been a completely different tie. But that's done with. Ipswich obviously won that, but playoff final. Foot League is completely different to a Knockout Cup final, in my opinion. And like I say, hopefully it is us, but it could be Wolverhampton. So hopefully it is it us, and we'll try our best to win the meeting.
Yeah, and I don't want to make it sound like it's obviously a foregone conclusion at all, because of course you know full well that Wolves are capable of springing a surprise at Ollerton. Obviously, history says that Sheffield usually do well against Wolves there, but Wolves won only last year at Ollerton. So you know, and Steady knows, the riders know, they've got to be on their guard.
Yeah, Wolves have got some fantastic riders, especially riders who do ride Sheffield well, like Ryan Douglas, Sam Masters, Rory Schlein. They ride the track well, and like I say, it's by far a foregone conclusion that we're going to be in final. It's a good position we're in, a great position we're in, but there's only us can throw it away now. So if we just stick to his game plan, stick to what we do best, we're hopeful that we can get through.
And Sheffield overall this season, from a, you know, off the track point of view, and from your point of view as being a promoter, how's it been? Because of course the circumstances of you know, the economy and cost of living and all that, you know, all has an effect, doesn't it, on running the club, particularly with getting fans through the gates. People are a bit more careful about where they spend their money now. How's it been for you this season with the crowd levels and getting people into the Speedway down there in Sheffield?
Some meetings have been difficult, but you know, the crowds they've been all right. They have picked up more since Ty come in, which I'd expect them to have done. Not massively, but they have picked up, because you don't get to see Ty woofing and riding England very often. And also we've brought Chris Holder back in, which is, you know, riders like that to come riding British League again, something we've been working for and working towards, and try and get these bigger names of Speedway back in. So it's, you have your good meetings, you have your bad meetings, and I know people sometimes have to choose, and they're always going to choose when somebody like Emil Seifuddenhoff comes, or Jason Doyle, to others, you know, no disrespect to anybody else, but people want to see them sort of ride as well. So when they come, you know, it's been a lot better. But overall, yeah, it's been all right. It's been all right. We're working every year differently to do different stuff and trying to trap more people in. But times are tough. not just for in Speedway, times are tough everywhere. I think everybody feels it in one way or another. But I appreciate the fans that we do get. The great support. We have a good away presence all the time that the fans go to, which again is massive for team, and team understand that, and they appreciate the fans turning out to away meetings for them. Like I say, in difficult times.
Yeah, the Bentu Barmy Army have certainly made themselves known, haven't they, around the various tracks?
Yeah, they've been, to be fair, they've been really good, and you can see that with all riders who come and they enjoy, they talk to them after meeting. They engage with them, which I think it's just good for the sport to have following and people to shout Speedway, shout your club about. It's really good.
Let's just talk about the future then. You're one of the board members at the BSPL, and you've got some big decisions to make, I think, over the course of the winter, as you do every winter in Speedway. Clearly, people will focus on the AGM, but these conversations are always going on in the background, aren't they, about what you might want to do, and things sort of rubber stamped, really, at the AGM. The big question that I think a lot of fans have is about the future of Speedway. They see clubs closing down. We're losing Wolves, losing Peterborough. And as has been pointed out by many people before, this is not because of Speedway reasons. This is because of external factors. You know, people wanting to do greyhound racing more or develop the land. So these are things that Speedway, it can't really compete with, unfortunately. What are the plans over that going forward and how Speedway protects itself against that? But also the clubs you're involved in, what's the future have in store for Sheffield? Sheffield, of course, is a Greyhound stadium, as we've seen. Those have been under threat. And for Leicester as well, you've got obviously family involvement with Leicester, which has been well documented, has been looking for new ownership. So what are the situations going forward with those two clubs, first of all?
Well, Sheffield's pretty stable, to be fair, at Alton. We have a great relationship with stadium landlords and stadium directors. We signed a new lease last year for 5 years. I think the difference with Sheffield is at the moment it's an independent dog racing trap, where a lot of others who's had problems are owned by groups. So at the moment at Sheffield everything's all good. I can't see any future problems, but you never know. We don't own the stadium, but I'm very confident that Alton will be hosting Spurs for many, many years to come. Leicester, myself and my family we've put Leicester for sale. I had quite a lot of inquiries about it. I am negotiating with someone at the moment, potentially for the sale of it, but that's as far as it goes at the moment. Leicester's a great place, great club, and it hasn't been done lightly, the decision to sell Leicester. It's more to do with family and health reasons why we've decided to let one club go. Sheffield's a lot closer for us. But Leicester, it's got a lot of good things going for it. It's financially in a good place. Since we've owned it, it has been for every year. Again, every club has its ups and downs. We've had ups and downs there, but it's been a very successful club since we took it over. National League, Championship level, first year back in Premiership this year, just missed out on playoffs. It's been a really, really good place for us. And there's been a lot of learning from Leicester. And it will be missed by us all, but, sometimes you've got to put things before other things, and hopefully I can sell it to somebody who'll carry it on in the place it's been going for the last few years.
But the bottom line there, then, no reason for any fans to fear for the future of either of those clubs being at the tapes next season?
No, not at all. Leicester, I'm sure, will be there if I sell it. which I'm negotiating with somebody at the moment. So yeah, the plan's there for them to carry on Premiership next year. And Sheffield, like I said, no problems whatsoever. None. It's all good in both of them.
And what are the big areas really now for the board of directors and for everyone at the BSPL to look at over this winter? What are the themes on the agenda really, rather than getting into the, you know, the individual whys and wherefores and what you might do, but what are the aspects that are top of the list of priorities for you to look at between now and the start of next season?
Well, obviously it's well documented that Wolverhampton and Peterborough are going to be out at home. Like I said earlier, due to external issues, nothing to do within Speedway. I think Speedway itself at the moment is pretty good, regardless of reports and what people say. We have a great TV deal with now Warner Brothers Discovery. And we're building a lot of things. We brought Phil on into the Premiership, which has been a really good acquisition for us. He's done a lot of stuff. Maybe it's not all well documented for everybody to see, but a lot of stuff goes on behind the scenes that he does and what he helps out with. So I think the Premiership alone is going in the right direction. It's a shame with Wolves and Peterborough. It really is. Two great clubs, massive clubs. But our first priority realistically is to get the Premiership back up to more than the five teams that's left. So that's a priority. Stuff is going on in the background, but until we get any commitments or whatever from other places, it's that's something we need to keep building on.
And so we'll be looking at obviously clubs to coming in there to get that up to at least six and maybe more potentially next season, and also mentions of potentially other clubs maybe coming back over time as well.
Yeah, listen, I think everybody love to have 10 teams in top league, but it's not really possible at the moment for various reasons. But yeah, we need to get up to at least minimum six. And then obviously we look at, there's always clubs looking and wanting to come back into Speedway. Again, they find there's difficulties with stadium availabilities, what's gone on previous at clubs who've done it before. But yeah, there's always talks with clubs that has finished over the last few years to try and get them returned, because we need as many clubs as we can.
Absolutely, and it'd be great to see some of those old names coming back, if not sooner. And of course the fight for Coventry still goes on as well, which the BSPL has been involved in supporting too, and Phil addressed the panel the other day, but obviously others have as well, and talk of Matt Ford being involved too has got to be positive from a Speedway point of view. Obviously a long way to go with that, but that would be one good example of a great club coming back.
Yeah, listen, Coventry's been missed, great club, great location, was a great stadium. And what the Save Coventry group have done is fantastic, really. Dave Rowan and Jeff Davies, just to name a couple of them, they've kept it going. They're now in court with it. And they're not getting bullied in court by it all. They're standing the ground, and I think it's, if they win that, I think it's absolutely tremendous for Speedway in general, and just to show that not everything can be bullied out of stadiums and by developers and other external sources. It's great that we've got people fighting these causes, and like I said, there's other clubs who's wanting to do the same and trying to get the clubs back up, but it is, as you see with Coventry, they're a hard fight and they're a hard, long battle.
Obviously, just slightly off on that with Wolves, for example. I know that Chris Van Straten's talked a little bit about what they're trying to achieve and get sort of a motorsport park together, and not something not too dissimilar to what Redcar have got, I suppose. The situation there, a part of town that's synonymous with motorsport, and Speedway becomes part of that. But from the BSPL point of view, what can the BSPL do to support these bids when you're approaching councils and people like that, landowners, to try and get Speedway up and running in an area that hasn't previously had it?
Well, we have a good relationship with Sport England now. Over the last few years, it's developed really strongly with them, and we have regular meetings with Sport England, which is, you know, to have them on your side is a massive, massive boost in anything. We always support every club to every council, MPs, mayors, well, you know, whatever we can do, we throw a support behind anything. So all we can do is just keep doing that, what we can do, and as a governing body, as a sport, we can say, look, you know, it's a serious sport, it's serious people, and you know, we've got Sport England and people like that on the side as well. It does help tremendously. And we've got MPs who we have regular contact with through, we used to have a parliament group, and we're still in contact with a lot of them MPs and stuff. So we have got people who we can call on and speak to, and they give advice, and they can throw the weight behind it if needs be. And hopefully Wolverhampton do get the motorsport part. I don't think it's a pipe dream. I think it's a very realistic option. I'm speaking to Chris, so hopefully in not too distant future, Wolverhampton are back at a different stadium and the back running.
Yeah, that's what we all want to see. Well, look, thanks a lot, Damien, for your time and explaining those things to us and talking to us about Sheffield and Leicester, and good luck for Sheffield going forward. It was obviously a bit tough luck with Leicester, wasn't it, that last-ditch thing, but that's ended up being Ipswich's gain, and they've made it to the final, and now it's either Sheffield or Wolves to join them.
Yeah, you know, it was a shame with Leicester because they started off so well, but obviously, you know, do that issue with Nick, and then obviously it just seemed to, I think Stuart tried just trying to jump on straight away, try and keep the team moving. He wanted 7 riders, didn't work out with Troy realistically, it didn't work out, but you know, it's one thing, it's done with. I'm sure Leicester and ourselves and Stuart have learnt from stuff. Everybody makes mistakes, but you know, it's one thing. I'm sure Leicester will be there or thereabouts next year if Stuart's still in charge of it, because he's one of the most determined people you'll ever meet in Speedway, and he doesn't like losing. So I expect Leicester to be up there next year, to be honest.
Okay, well, watch this space, and before you know it, it'll be time for team building again and starting from scratch, and press and practice will be round the corner before you know it, won't it?
Yeah, it flies round.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Damien. All the best, and we'll keep an eye on how Sheffield do in the next week.
No worries.
Damien Bates, one of the promoters at the Sheffield Tigers, on No Breaks, No Fear. Now, in the next part of the podcast, we're speaking to someone who's found themselves in the shoes of a promoter. Martin Coleman is the guy who's got the task of putting on the Stuart Robson farewell meeting for the 5th time. And we're going to speak to him all about that next on No Breaks, No Fear.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Brannan, and now in this next part, I'm joined by Martin Coleman. Now, Martin Coleman is a lifelong Speedway fan and got himself involved with organising Stuart Robson's farewell meeting. Now, Stuart Robson, of course, a legend of a number of clubs, one of which is Coventry, and Martin has done his own podcast to do with Coventry, and the two know each other well, so it fell to Martin to get on board and sort of become a promoter for this meeting in some respects. And this was back in 2019. 2020 was when the meeting was supposed to happen. Of course, COVID occurred and the world shut down. The meeting didn't happen. All the other restagings have fallen victim to the weather. And finally, here they are, 5th time lucky, and I have to say at least the weather is looking better for this Saturday, the 30th of September. And Martin joins us now. Martin, when you took on this job for Stuart of organising his meeting, did you think that you'd have to be doing it 5 times?
hi, Ian. No, in a word. Growing up, being in the sport all throughout my life, I've always thought, do you know what, I could be a promoter. Well, I'll tell you what, I feel like I've promoted a couple of seasons already. It's just been a meeting that seems to have been just riddled with bad luck from the moment we started. everything was going smoothly, and we were literally 7 days away from hosting it back in March 2020, and we got called off due to the pandemic literally a week before. Nothing you could do about it, and you know, we had to follow the guidelines that were in place, and obviously the sport itself was put on hold for a period of time. So you just put that one in the back pocket and think, okay, we planned for the first one. When we get a date to replan and go again, we will do. And unfortunately now this is the fifth time we're doing it. The weather, as we know, plays havoc with our sport at times, and probably the closest we've had was March this year, where we managed to get to the stadium, and Johnny and the guys at Redcar on the track were doing their best to get the circuit raceable, but it was just too soft, and that was the closest we'd been, and unfortunately we had to call it off really late. So we're back now for a fifth time, and all plans really for Saturday, where for once the weather forecast seems to be on our side. We're just battling with other issues to make sure the meeting goes ahead.
And one question of, I guess will come from this. Obviously, this is to give money to Stuart Robson. You know it's, that's what testimonials and all that are all about. So what happens when you get to the point, and as you mentioned, very late notice for most of these runnings, for it to be called off. You've got expense that you've committed to at certain points, whether that's, you know, hire of the stadium to some extent, or you've got food in, or you've got programs printed, race jackets made. I mean, these costs then have to be absorbed by all that, don't they? So you must be a little bit out of pocket up to this point.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I would say is that from the moment we started planning and we started putting the sponsorships available, Stuart's had an amazing response from the Speedway public in terms of all the sponsorships. So everything we've asked to be sponsored has been sponsored. And to be fair, every single person that joined us and gave us money up to the first event pre-pandemic, they've kept their money with us. And that's enabled us to obviously get everything sorted. We've had programs printed twice, which, you know, they're expensive. And unfortunately now they're sat in boxes, and we're going to offer people the opportunity to buy them on Saturday as a bit of a collector's item. The event in March this year was a one because all the riders had got there. St. John's was there, programs, food, etc. We're probably in between £5,000 and £6,000 now out of the money that was raised. We're that far behind. We've had some great support from a couple of companies that have joined and got on board. And we've probably clawed back probably 20, 25% of that, which it will all help. But again, to put this meeting on, it will probably cost us in the region of sort of £4,000 or £5,000 again at the weekend. So, you know, a few people have messaged, you know, sent DMs and stuff sort of to say, why don't you just knock it on the head and that sort of stuff. But the trouble is now, if we did call it off and not run it, we've somehow got to find £5,000-6,000 to give people their sponsorship money back. So it's a meeting now that, you know, there's been comments made that when it does get run, it will end up being a memorial and stuff like that. And, you know, the witty banter that you get online. But we've had great support from sponsors, and everybody that's been involved has, you know, really supported us. And we'll be doing whatever we can to claw the money back that we've lost, but also to try and give Stuart and his family a bit of a payout, you know, which is for his career that he had in the sport, and for somebody that watched him at Coventry for so long, and then other people watched him at Lakeside, Newcastle, Rye House. You know, he is he's a name that over the years in British Speedway, he was all out. He was a racer. He gave plenty of entertainment for whoever he rode for. And that sort of shows in the fact that a lot of the sponsors weren't even from clubs that he rode for. You know, people from Glasgow, people from Bellevue, you know, contributed money to it. So it shows the level of support that fans had for him. And, you know, we hope that one last time at the weekend that people either, you know, make their way to Redcar on Saturday evening, or they jump on the live stream that we're arranging at the moment to just to try and fill some of the money back, really.
Happily, I'm pleased to report that the weather forecast is as probably as good as it gets for Saturday at this moment in time. I mean, there's some rain skirting by, but it looks like it's going to miss Middlesbrough, and I would be as confident as I could be and as optimistic as I can be that finally you're going to get this off the ground. Tell us about the lineup you've put together and the work that goes in to get a lineup together, because it's not really very easy when, especially as people will know, you're limited with availability, you've got to work around other stuff. You are kind of going up against the Grand Prix, which is happening in Torin, and that obviously, whilst you weren't trying to get Bartos to ride, I don't know, maybe you did invite him, I'm not sure, but obviously this is a big pull, and for riders as well, a lot of Speedway people are going to that to be there or involved in it in some other way, if they're mechanicking or whatever it is. So you've got this competition with other stuff going on, of course, on a Saturday, and just tell us about the scale of the task to get a lineup and a good lineup, you know, together for this event.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've had, you know, obviously, like you say, we're up against the Torin GP. Nobody was as disappointed as I was in Voyens 2 weeks ago when Bartos wore the wrong race suit and the world title wasn't sorted. But, you know, we've had a couple of riders that have been available all the way through. So Simon Lambert, Danny King, Leon Flint of, you know, Paul Stark, to name but four, have put their name up every time. And again, they're people that, you know, respect what Stuart did. The lineup that we had in March, it's fair to say, was the best of the four lineups we'd had up to that point. And, you know, being a Speedway fan, you look at the lineup and you think, okay, it's definitely slightly weaker than what it was. But what we've tried to do this time around is try to ensure that, you know, there's many a time I've been to a meeting whereby you look at the program and you think, this is going to be a dreadful meeting, it's going to be a walkover. And it's ended up being one of the most entertaining ones you've seen. And we're hopeful that on Saturday, that the guys that are involved, you know, they're going to be of similar level. Probably at the moment, Danny King is a standout with it being red car, but we wanted to make sure that red car fans had something to cheer as well. And we've managed to get three of their lineup at the moment. But at you know, the time of the year, back in March, people were desperate for laps. They were desperate to get on the bike. And that's probably why the response was so good. We're obviously battling with the delayed playoffs as well. So, you know, some of the riders in the Premiership didn't want to commit because they had playoffs going on. And Stuart, out of everybody, fully respects that. He understands that. But, you know, we've had riders in the past. We did have Freddie Lindgren back in March. We were lucky that he was doing a tour of the UK and managed to get him in. You know, people like Bomber, Niels Christian Everson. Unfortunately, at the moment, this time around, these types of riders haven't been available. Some of the youngsters in the sport, Ashton Bowen, Freddie Hodder, who recently had a great, you know, score at the weekend. We're giving riders that are hungry to ride, but also, you know, we're very respectful of the fact that they've given up their time to join us as well. So we are still looking for the final two. I'm waiting on responses from a number of riders that have got messages out there, but it's one of them. And we, you know, the meeting really on Saturday, if it goes ahead, you know, we've got the Young Lions demonstration. Neil Vatcher's got the guys up there as well. There's also some upright demonstrations, so it will be an evening packed with entertainment on the track. And it's really just, you know, hopeful that people set their Sky Plus to record the Torin GP and watch it when they get home. You know, Stu deserves a send off with the best crowd that we can get. And we're hopeful that the people, certainly in the Northeast, and maybe some from Scotland, will come down. Obviously Newcastle, you know, he was synonymous with Newcastle for a number of years, and we're hoping that a few people make their way over there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't beat being there. And you can watch it on your phone, the Grand Prix, I guess. If you've got Discovery Plus, you can take it with you. You've got no excuse. You can watch two meetings at once, all good. But you're still bashing away on the phones there, and some riders, maybe some surprises, who knows, who's going to get back to you yet when they realise what their availability is. So never say never. And you're starting at, what, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, isn't it, on Saturday afternoon at Redcar?
Yeah, 5 o'clock start. The parade will be at 5, and we're looking for Heat 1 to get underway, sort of 10 past, quarter past 5. You know, we've got an experienced referee with us. It's been Craig Aykroyd on a number of occasions, but Craig's busy this weekend, so Chris Durno is stepping in. So, you know, another FIM referee. And Chris, again, through our connections down at Coventry, we've known him a long time. So he will make sure that, you know, the event runs through and that people aren't stood around. But 5 o'clock start with Young Lions demonstrations as well. And like I said, upright races. So we're looking to give everybody, you know, something different. And fingers crossed, in the next 24, 48 hours, I'll have had the responses from a couple of more people to confirm the lineup. And then really it's all systems go for Saturday evening.
Okay, and what is, can you run us through the confirmed lineup as to where we're up to so far? The full, however many riders you've got there nailed down, so we can get a grasp of the who's on show.
We've got Simon Lambert, we've got Connor Mountain, Norik Bledorn, who thankfully wasn't too bashed up in Checo at the weekend, but he rode great last night in the playoff final. Danny King, Lasse Fredriksson from Edinburgh, Lee Complin, Freddie Hodder, Drew Kemp. We've got Paul Stark, Ashton Bowen, Leon Flint, and then red cars, Jason Edwards and Luke Harrison. So we've still got two places. Like I said, I've probably got 6 or 7 different riders that I've contacted that we're just waiting on responses from. And hopefully 2 of them will come off in the next 48 hours. And then it's 20 heats with a semi-final and a final for the main event. And then the Young Lions stuff as well going on. So like I said, sponsorship-wise, we can't thank people enough for not only getting in touch originally and putting their money in, but also to keep the money with us. And we'll be trying to make sure that we give Stu the best send-off we can on Saturday evening.
Yes, and well, hopefully 5th time lucky and you get the meeting on finally. You won't know what to do with yourself after if it is all complete and wrapped up in Saturday night, will you?
No, I'll go for a lay down. We are confirming the details at the moment, but the meeting will be live streamed. So hopefully people, because Stu has lots of friends also around the world, quite a few friends in Australia that have said they're going to log in and watch it. So we'll be putting the details around on our socials in the next day or two. With tapes of TV, Alex and the guys are going to film it. So it's there available. You know, people in the Coventry area, Rye House, Lakeside, if they don't want to make the trip up north because of the distance, then hopefully they'll join us online and be able to take part in what hopefully will be a valued send-off for him.
Finally, Martin, just a quick word about Coventry and where you're up to. Obviously, a club very close to your heart. The appeal is rumbling on. People might have been watching some of the earlier discussions and the opening statements. So where are we up to with that at this moment now?
Very close to my heart. Massive loss to the family, friends and everybody that used to go. We're in week 2 now of the appeal case, so it restarts again today. Really, you know, Jeff, Dave, and the guys that are on the group have done an amazing job to put a case forward. You know, the owners of the land want to build houses and also now a 3G football pitch that has come out of nowhere to try and save their application. All we can do is trust in the process and hope that the councillor that's making the decision finds in our favour. Trouble is, I don't know if that means that they would have to sell the land back, so that's obviously a different matter, but this part of this process is all about trying to ensure that their appeal doesn't get approved, and if it doesn't, then we move a step closer to getting the old stadium back, and you know, the grandstand, etc., is pretty much a write-off now due to the damage that it's had with all of the people going in and vandalising it, but the track is still there. The track is all we need. You know, we've got a terrace in that can be rebuilt, and you know, the grandstand we can leave for another point. But key part really is hopefully that the rest of this week goes in our favour. The council kick out their appeal, and then we're next step down the line to hopefully getting it revived.
And some interesting, you know, things have come out of it actually. In for example, you know, Phil Morris did a fantastic job, I think, you know, standing up not just for Coventry but for Speedway in general and really setting the scene for the prosperity going forward. You know, people will, you don't have to look far to find people who will find fault with the sport, and we all know it's not perfect, and even Phil Morris said that. But you know, there is a lot of reason to be optimistic about the sport in the next few years or so, and I think he did a terrific job standing there and making the case for not just British Speedway but, you know, Speedway around the world too. And also, you know, people like Chris Van Straten making his case. Of course, he's in a slightly different situation, but he is now having to find a new place to take Speedway and rebuild it. And also Matt Ford is another sort of expert testimony that's to come as well.
No, absolutely. You know, we all, the people that listen to this podcast, we love the sport. You know, we accept that quite often the sport probably shoots itself in the foot, but ultimately you only have to look at the scenes last night at Bellevue, you know, to see the racing that's on offer, to see the current level that the sport's at in the country. And, you know, it's obvious from the first few days of the court case that a lot of the opposition noise to Speedway, even the reports that have been done, that they don't understand the sport. They don't actually, you know, get it from a spectator perspective. And, you know, it's something that you're, it's in you. You either go regular or you'll go once and not go back. And, you know, over the years, everybody will know hundreds, thousands of people that used to go. And I'm pretty confident that if we did get the green light and that the sport was to return at Brandon, not only the Speedway, but the stock car as well, similar to what Oxford have done and similar to how they've managed to, you know, come out the flames, there would be a massive crowd on the opening night back at Brandon. Absolutely massive. And I do believe that whatever the capacity is put on from a health and safety perspective, we would probably do that two or three times over. It's something that should never have allowed to happen. And it's always one of those, and you don't expect it to happen to your team. And when it does, it, you know, it really puts it into perspective. But all we can do now is, you know, trust in the legal process and hope that we get one step closer in a couple of weeks' time when the decision is made.
Well, keep fighting the good fight, and you know, absolutely everybody's behind you. There's not a person in Speedway who wouldn't want to see Speedway back there at Brandon. I don't think there's a person in Speedway who wouldn't want to be there the day that, of course, it opens up, as you mentioned, and seeing the likes of Oxford, you know, a great example. And frustrating though as well that, you know, you've got the some of these expert witnesses, counsellors and stuff that haven't actually been down to Oxford to see what is possible. And as you say, you do feel like sometimes that people are having an argument about the prosperity of Speedway, but they've never actually been. And they don't understand it. And it's easy to say something, but yet a 3G football pitch is something that's prosperous. But it was interesting to see that putting the 3G football pitch down there is going to be a problem for the local sports centre, who are not happy about it. So there's all sorts of little arguments in and among, isn't there? You know, I think that there are people who are wise to what's going on here.
Well, I think everybody involved in Speedway understands what's going on from the opposition perspective. And like I said, the 3G football pitch and a pavilion that was never in their plans two or three years ago has all of a sudden appeared, and now they're hanging their hat on that as a reason to get it done. So you only have to listen to the gentleman being interviewed last week who mentioned the Oxford Chargers football team. That's all you need to know about the fact that they're, whatever research they've done, it is not worth the paper it's written on. But we just got to keep our fingers crossed, mate, really.
Yeah. Oxford Chargers football team, great stuff. Okay, on that note, look, all the best for that. But of course, first of all the best for Saturday for the Stuart Robson farewell meeting. It has been the longest of goodbyes, but hopefully on Saturday you get it underway and everybody has a great night.
Thank you. Cheers, Ian. Thanks for your time.
Martin Coleman of the Stuart Robson farewell meeting. He's the man promoting it for the fifth time lucky on Saturday. That's due to take place at Redcar, a 5 p.m. start. Elsewhere in the Cab Direct Championship, the Poole Pirates are looking to secure their grand final place via Group A when they host Edinburgh on Wednesday, with a return taking place in Armadale on Friday. Group B continues. We've got this vital fixture at Glasgow at Redcar, with their potentially crunching counter with Oxford now to be rearranged in the imminent few days. So look out for announcements about that. Scunthorpe hosting Redcar on Friday in the first leg of their Knockout Cup semi-final. Elsewhere, as we mentioned, Stuart Robson's heavily delayed by 5 years. Farewell meeting is now scheduled for this Saturday at Redcar, a 5 p.m. start. National Development League. Well, the leaders Leicester and Mildenhall meet in the NDL on Friday, with the two sides also due to clash in the Knockout Cup final next month. Oxford also into the grand final when they wrap up their regular home campaign against Edinburgh on Wednesday. And that's how things look heading into the next week and the start of October and things on course to wrap up. Not least, of course, the Sports Insure Premiership Grand Final. The first leg will be provisionally, at least, on Monday, and then the second leg on Thursday, the 5th of October, with the teams to be involved yet to be finally decided, but we know it will involve the Ipswich Witches. Well done to them. Thanks for joining us once again. We'll be back next week with a bit of a half-time report, all being well, if things go to schedule, on the final in the Sports Insure Premiership and possibly in the Cab Direct Championship as well. At least we'll know who will be heading to the grand final in that league by then. Join us next week for more of that here on No Breaks, No Fear, the official British Speedway podcast.
No Breaks, No Fear, the official British Speedway podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.